We're continuing actually with the writings of Rabash, page 2088, article 932, the first innovation, Hachidush Arishon. Again, there's no English text. All the renewals or innovations begin only after a man merits coming out of self-reception. And this is why it is forbidden to teach the Torah to the idol worshippers. Because while a person is in Egypt, he cannot be a Jew, because he is enslaved to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And while he is Pharaoh's servant, he cannot be the servant of the Creator. And this is the matter of, for the people of Israel are mine. They are my servant. And they're not servants of servants. Because while a person serves himself, he cannot be the servant of the Creator. Because it is impossible to serve two kings at once. And only after a man comes out of Egypt, that is, out of self-reception, then he can be the servant of the Creator. And then he is capable of meriting the Torah. The result of that is that the first innovation or renewal is the exodus from Egypt. Again, Article 932, the first renewal. All the renewals or innovations begin only after a man merits coming out of self-reception. This is why it is forbidden to teach the Torah to the idol worshippers, because while a person is in Egypt, he cannot be a Jew, because he is enslaved to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And while he is the slave of Pharaoh, he cannot be the servant of the Creator. And this is the matter of, for the people of Israel are mine. They are my servants, and they are not servants of servants. Because while a person serves himself, he cannot be the servant of the Creator. Because it is impossible to serve two kings at once. And only after one comes out of Egypt, that is, out of self-reception, then he can be the servant of the Creator. And then he is capable of meriting the Torah. The end result is that the first renewal is the exodus from Egypt.
So my first question is, why can't you learn Torah before you come out of Egypt? What is this Egypt that before it you cannot learn Torah? What is this prohibition? Go ahead.
Because then I'll be studying for my own benefit.
As long as a person, as he says, is enslaved of Pharaoh. Each and every person is enslaved to Egypt, to Pharaoh. He can't study Torah because it will all be for himself. That's the meaning of prohibition.
It's really... This article is really a bummer because I thought that I could serve Pharaoh and also the Creator, meaning I thought that... You know, for years that you can do things both for the Creator and for yourself. And only the reforming light can bring the change. But you have to know that that's how it is, because you can't be in both worlds together. You have to leave self-love, exit, and enter love the Creator.
It's not allowed to learn Torah for the idol worshippers. That means that it can't study Torah when you're under the domination of Pharaoh, under the questions of what is this work and who is the Creator that shall hear his voice. You can't be a Jew, you can't unify the voice you hear from the Creator because you're in exile.
What does it mean to study Torah? this is what I don't really hear. You're like as if talking about it, but you're not saying what it is. What does it mean to study Torah? That it's forbidden to study it before you exit Egypt. What does it mean that the idol shippers are forbidden from studying Torah? What does it mean, forbidden, prohibited? It says that prohibited means impossible, right? Okay. Why is it impossible? Please, go ahead. What is the Torah forbidden for the idolaters to study that you can study it before you exit Egypt? Go ahead.
Impossible, basically impossible to draw the light.
First of all, what is Torah? That's the question. What's the Torah? And then what are the idolaters? What is Egypt? And why can't they be together?
The Torah is the light. It's the force that reforms us. And it's impossible to study Torah when you're basically in your will to receive. Actually, what does impossible mean? It means it's possible, but you're advancing very slowly to reach a state from which you, in this place where you can really draw the light that reforms.
I think the Torah is the light of bestowal that we're passing on to one another. And I can't use this light to fulfill myself because it's impossible.
Torah bestowal. Since we want to come out of our own will to receive, our own forces, and to equalize our form with the Creator, which is a force of bestowal. According to what I understand in my eyes, this is our path, our manual, to come out of the force of reception for ourselves, only by cleaving onto the society. And along with them, wanting to come out of Egypt from your own self-reception, then you can reach adhesion in Him to get help from Him.
You don't know what Torah is? Okay, then explain what the spice means. Spices.
I spice things up. It is written, I've created the evil inclination, I've created the Torah as a spice. So when there's a stage called Lolishma, not for her sake, not for her name, when a person feels he has to escape it, escape Lolishma. Until then, the teaching helps him to find the second nature, but after he really does find it, this true evil inclination is revealed, and then he has to have the Torah as a spice, as a medication, using these two forces together.
Meaning that there are desires with the intention in order to receive. In order to receive, it's called the evil inclination. Evil. In order to receive, it's called evil. In order to correct, to invert it into good, in order to bestow. So, the lights that perform this work from in order to receive to in order to bestow, these lights are called Torah. Like it says, I've created the evil inclination, I've created the Torah spice, because the light in it reforms. Meaning, Torah are the 613 lights against the 613 desires, where against each desire there is a special light that corrects this desire from in order to receive to in order to bestow. That's called Torah. Who are the idolaters? Or the non-Jews, the nations, like he says here, how does he put it? No, obviously it's forbidden to teach the idolaters.
Because when he's in Egypt, he cannot be a Jew.
Why can't he be a Jew? Because he is in Egypt. He is in order to receive. He is in the posterior. Why is he then called one of the nations? Idolaters. What stars and signs is he serving? Worshipping.
Because he wants to use bestowal for himself, for his own will to receive. He wants the Creator to work, to worship him, and not for him to be the worshipper of the Creator.
Because in a state where you're in exile, under the influence of the will to receive, under the questions of who and what, a person can't be Jewish. What does that mean? That he cannot unite everything he's going through on this exile. He can't ascribe it to the Creator. Why? What? How? He's truly under a foreign influence, under evil. That's why he can't be Jewish when he is in exile, because he's not united, unified.
Yeah, I don't have a lot to add to Jewish is one who can unite the two forces to one. And here is only under the feeling of the one force, and that's why he can't be one who unifies.
I think there are many levels, but on the simplest level, it's desires that pull to myself, or being extroverted. So I think that the aquam, the nations, is what disconnects you from connection.
Because a Jewish is the force that unites, connects, and passes on. It causes the force of bestowal of the Creator to pass on to everyone. If it's in order to receive, it takes it for himself. It doesn't realize his duty.
Yeah, a person who's in Egypt is under the rule of the Egyptians. It's stars and signs, and he ascribes it to the many forces that influence him, and therefore he cannot cleave on to the force of love and bestowal.
Rav, why is it impossible to worship the Creator in order to receive? Why, when you're in order to receive, you cannot worship the Creator? We see that the whole world is ready for that and willing to do it and doing this work. They're worshiping the Creator, but it's a little bit in order to receive. Why is it impossible?
It says that he and I cannot dwell in the same abode where there is the will to receive. There cannot be the intention or to bestow in the whole spiritual world. Is in the intention or to bestow. Therefore, who do I serve? It can't come together.
Rav, meaning the true work of the Creator, the true servitude, starts when a person understands he's not serving the Creator, he's in the posterior in order to receive, he's in Egypt. This is at least it associates him with the work. It's still lo lishma, not for her name, it's still under the control of Pharaoh, but he's trying to somehow come away distant, if not to escape him altogether. But still he's not serving the Creator because his actions are still in order to receive, even though he wishes to come out of it. That's why it's still called Lo Lishma, not for a name, but it's an important degree already. And only after receiving the reforming light and that desire and that those desires, he can work in order to bestow. And then he is called one who serves the Creator. Why then he's called a Jew, Yehudi? Then and only then he is called a Jew, when he comes out to in order to bestow. A Jew means that he is entirely out to in order to bestow, of course. Well,
so
only after the exodus from Egypt he's called a Jew. Before that, he's a complete goy nation, one of the nations. Before that, he's like Abraham, an idolater. Idol worshippers. Our ancestors were idol worshippers. That's what it says in the Haggadah of Pesach. Yes, go ahead.
So a Jew, like we said before, the meaning of being able to unify everything that is going on through with the Creator, that he is already in the trait of the upper, that only after the exodus from Egypt begin all the corrections, but at least these corrections are already connected somewhat to the upper. Either you can relate everything to him, or you're in the opposite state.
Yes, and then you can basically start performing your role within the system. You're connected to the system, basically grab onto it, you're hooked, and then you can start working. Out of that, start working outwards, giving from yourself to others, and being this, your duty, your being a conduit.
Being Jewish, it's unification, it's the connection. It's being one. It's when all of us in some way are as one already.
Why is one called a Jew only when coming out of Egypt? Because after all the exertion he did, the desire that was developed in him in order to come and resemble the Creator and to equalize his form with him, only after that, after coming out of Egypt, he can reach a state where he becomes one who bestows to others. He becomes just as a Creator, a bestower.
So, why do we say about the first month of the Pesach, about the exodus from Egypt, about the head of the month being the birth, the first innovation? Why do we celebrate it that much, and a person has to see himself each day as coming out of Egypt? What's this degree? What's this? Why is this state so important, all in all? Please.
Because that's a critical transition. Most critical transition. It's the miracle. I don't know how to call it. It's the first true barrier. True machsom. It's a miracle. It's to get the second nature. Seemingly there's no such thing in reality. Later on, it's advancing in the degrees of bestowal, which are is probably also not so easy, but this is the first step, the first innovation.
It's like the way Rav asked. So what's so important about it? And that's what all life is for. Incarnations, everything we went through, all the torments, it's all in order to reach the first degree coming out of Egypt. When you came out of the world to receive, you became a Jew. You've attained the wholeness, perfection, attainment. That's the purpose of creation. That's what you live for.
Because, why is it important? Because in truth, until you disconnect from the will to receive, just as in the parting of the Red Sea, which is the end of the will to receive and the beginning of bestowal, meaning until you detach yourself from the will to receive, there's no way you can go through the corrections of the vessels of bestowal, the time of the desert, later on the conquering of the land. It all starts from disconnecting from the will to receive. That's where the whole process of the correction of man begins. That's why it's such a critical point. The first contact with the Creator, this transition from reception to bestowal.
How do we, from our will to receive, from the intention or to bestow, from the intention or to receive, and the intention or to bestow, which is actually the light that reaches us, how do we build out of them in the spiritual state? What does spiritual mean? Above reason? What is that? What inner inversion, flip, does it make in us? A new paradigm, a new perspective, a new world? Why is this transition called a new birth? What changes here inside a person? His attitude to life, a revelation of such a new state called different world, opposite to what you had before, that he now sees in a world in the light of bestowal. Why is it so different than the light of reception? How is it that it's the opposite? Let's try and guess. Help each other, and the main thing is do it together.
It's all the sensation, your relation to what you stumble upon in your life. The force that it gives you, basically to see things, to examine things in different vessels, different understanding, different sensation. It's all together. It gives you force to feel that you're actually everything around you is good. Everything that exists is helping you.
It's like being plugged into a different socket. You're enjoying now anything and everything that's happening around you. Like with the example of the kids, that one way or another, you enjoy them all the time. So you see that they're outside of you now, that it's, that it doesn't, that nothing else like interests you.
I don't know why all the things sound to me very complicated when they're very simple. Explaining them is difficult, but it's just that as a friend said, the moment you're in a state that you yourself don't believe, the only thing that interests you is the friends and the others around you. All you want is for them to feel good. not for yourself. You enjoy the fact that everyone lives in it, the state that everything around you feels comfortable. There are truly not enough words to describe the state, but only everything good around you. That's your fuel.
I have a question. Maybe it'll help us solve this question, the previous question. Why is this current reality, this world, one can feel it without comparing it to the upper world with the panim of the Creator? And the upper world, the spiritual world, we can feel it only upon this world, upon the Rishimot, the impressions, the light excels the darkness, and so on. Why do we see the darkness? We see it. And the light, we don't. We need darkness in order to see the light. Well, we can't reach the spiritual world, but each and every spiritual discernment is built on its opposite, what's felt and sensed in the darkness. Why is it so? And how do we then attain the spiritual world in the opposite to the darkness, where without that we do not discern anything? The discernments of darkness we needed in each and everything, and then accordingly we achieve the light. And the darkness itself, we have no problem. Who can see something in the darkness? A bat. Exactly. Go ahead.
We are the will to receive. The will to receive feels its reality only by the opposites. There's the Creator and the will to receive, and I can feel something only by comparison. And this transition, how is it possible for the light? Only out of hatred for the will to receive. Hatred. When you develop this intention, then you can escape to a new reality. And then this matter, the will to receive darkness, is only as means to see and to receive the bestowal of the light upon it.
We don't want to be bats, we want to awaken the dawn, to be roosters. And in our world too, the light that comes in and helps, it what gives life. And also with respect to the spiritual world, we just need it to bring us in there atop the oppositeness of the will to receive.
Moving on to the next part of the lesson, and let's sing a song first.
יש עוד אהבה בעולם, גם אם השתכחה, גם אם הסתתרה, גם אם טרם גילית את סודה. היא השיר של החיים, היא האור של קבל אותה אל תרתה, רק לך היא אותה יגלו כולם רק לפתוח צוהר חם היא כבר תמצא לה את הגל לשם היא השיר של החיים היא האור של השירים קבל אותה אל תרדה רק לך היא יש עוד אהבה בעולם